Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to Captain.
Join Jan Shaw and her guests as they discuss cosmic creating and the path to reclaiming our power as cosmic creators.
Library computer, data being received.
To go where too few have gone before. A production of Cosmic Reality Radio. And you're alive.
Thank you, Nancy, and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw. I'm the Success Alchemist, and you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net. And today is the 28th of December 2019. And so today, given that we're only a few days away from a new year and a new decade, I thought it would be a good time to look at how we can start the new year the right way so that we ensure success in 2020. And I'm going to cover four steps to follow in order to really keep you on track with your goals and achieve your ultimate vision and purpose. But first, I just want to talk a little bit about the difference between goals and resolutions, because there's this tradition of setting, you know, New Year resolutions every year. But do you know that 80% of people don't stick to their New Year resolutions beyond the first week of January? I guess that's why you get a big sign up on gyms and exercise places, and then it's full in January and then it's empty in February. So that's quite an amazing failure rate, actually. I knew it was high, but that statistic really surprised me. So did you set resolutions in previous years? And if you did, what was your rate of success? Was it any better than this? Let's just look at the difference between a resolution and a goal. And according to dictionary.com, a resolution is a resolve, a decision, or determination to make a firm resolution to do something. Whereas a goal is the result or achievement towards which effort is directed. It's an aim as an end. And I think the difference here is the word effort, and that it's directed. So the trouble with resolutions is that they tend to be vague and lack a specific target date for their achievement, which makes it much easier to let your good intentions lapse. They're often focused on something you don't want in your life, like I want to lose weight, I want to stop smoking, I want to be able to pay my bills, rather than something positive you want to achieve to add value and quality to your life. And from a manifestation point of view, when you focus on what you don't want rather than what you do want, guess what happens? You get what you focus on. When you set specific goals with clear targets for what you want to achieve and when, it'll be much easier to stay on track. So plan out the steps you must take to achieve your goal and make them action-oriented with target dates of completion. And I'm going to go into this, how you set goals, a little later in the show. But first, I want to talk about what I consider to be the first essential step. And this is something that is often overlooked by many people who promote goal setting for achieving success. And this is something that we very often overlook and neglect to do. And what it is it's to review your achievements and challenges to date. And at the start of the year, what I recommend is you actually review the whole of the previous year. And then ongoing, I recommend that this is done, this whole process is done every 3 months. So step one is review. And this is your opportunity to review your achievements, but also your challenges. And to look at each area of your life in turn and think about these suggested areas, you know, your professional and business life, your health and well-being, relationships, money and finance, home and leisure, personal development, spiritual life, and any others that, you know, are really important to you. So what you need to do is think about each area in turn and list everything you've achieved, working from the start of last year, or 2019 in this case, right through to the present moment, and record every positive achievement. It's often the small steps that create the distance that you travel. And when you focus on this in detail, you'll be surprised at how much you've actually achieved. And it's a good opportunity to really anchor in the good feelings about who you are and what you've done, because this really helps to boost your self-confidence. It boosts your self-esteem. It's really important. And there is a well-known statistic that says success is 80% mindset and only 20% strategy. And if you've gone through this process and set your goals and followed the steps that I'm covering, if you have some issues with your mindset in terms of self-confidence, self-doubt, limiting beliefs about what is possible for you, you end up self-sabotaging and procrastinating or just avoiding doing the things that will actually get you to where you want to be. So that's why it's so important to really anchor in those good feelings about yourself when you've listed out everything that you've achieved in the year. And I think when you do this, you'll actually be quite surprised about how much you have achieved. I know it's easy to forget to celebrate our achievements, but it is so important because it's continually affirming your subconscious beliefs about yourself and contradicts those things that that voice of the inner critic might be telling you. Oh, you can't do this. Oh, you're not good enough. So by really focusing in on your achievements, you're really going to, you're going to wear away those negative limiting beliefs and really develop empowering beliefs about yourself. And the other thing to do is look at what you wanted to achieve, but you didn't achieve. And I really want you to approach this step with neutrality and acceptance and not become self-critical or judgmental, because this is not about failure. It's about identifying tasks and goals to carry forward to the next stage of this process or to drop those that didn't resonate. And it may be that you may have set goals that now your intentions have changed. So, you know, just scratch those off the list. But if there are things that you wanted to achieve, but for some reason you didn't, then carry them forward to the next year. And the third element of this first step is to list out your challenges. So looking at that list of things that you wanted to achieve but didn't, think about what prevented you from achieving the goals that you listed in the last section, you know, what you didn't achieve. They may be areas for personal growth. It may be due to lack of focus, procrastination, as I've just mentioned, poor time management, self-confidence issues, maybe even insufficient resources, including time. Maybe you actually tried to overstretch yourself. Maybe you were aiming for too many goals that just weren't physically possible to achieve in that particular time frame. Or it might even be that you lack specific skills in certain areas. As I said, were you overambitious in what you expected to achieve in the time available? I don't want you to approach this as a beat yourself up exercise. Just approach it with honesty and self-awareness so that you can address the areas that need work to achieve your goals in the coming year. And the final step is really to celebrate your achievements. Celebrate everything that you've done, and also think about what you're grateful for, because gratitude is a really powerful element in, again, manifesting the outcomes that you want. Okay, I'm just going to take a quick break here because my heater has started making a noise, so I'll be back in just 1 second. Okay, so if you've got some background noise, I apologize for that, but that'll switch off in just a second. Okay, so yeah, celebration and gratitude is a really important factor in manifesting, because if you're not grateful for something, you're not going to get more of it. It's when you really express the gratitude for what you've achieved and for what you have that the universe will deliver more of that, and that will lead to more success. Okay, so that's step one. Step two is to set heartfelt goals and intentions. So it may seem obvious, but setting your vision, goals, and intentions is the first step in manifestation. And unless you're clear in your own mind what you want, the universe can't deliver it, and you may end up with something surprisingly different. Yet, how many people don't take the time to fully describe what they want to achieve? And some people even have trouble expressing what it is that they want in life. And interestingly, there was a Harvard business study conducted in 1979 with MBA graduates, which revealed remarkable statistics relating to goal setting and success. 83% had no specific goals, 14% had goals but they weren't written down, and 3% had written goals and plans to accomplish them. The study found that the 14% who had goals were earning, on average, twice as much as the 83% without goals. The 3% with written goals were earning 10 times more than the other 97% put together. And obviously this is relating specifically to financial goals, but it applies just as equally to other areas of your life. So clearly, you're far more likely to achieve a goal if it's written down and you have a plan. So there are different schools of thought about how we should describe the desires and intentions we want to manifest. One school of thought says we should define our intentions to the smallest detail, whereas another says we should make it more general so we don't limit the scale of the manifestation. And I was pondering this point before one of the workshops I did a few years ago on empowered manifestation, and I got one of those intuitive downloads about how manifestation works. And it goes back to my IT days. And having spent over 20 years in IT, I know that one of the biggest problems in developing computer systems is when users try to dictate the solution instead of letting the experts, the analysts, designers, and programmers work it out for them. They either get something that just doesn't work or they get far less than they could have had. And it's the same with manifestation. Instead of describing the solution down to the smallest detail, let the expert, in this case, God, source, or divine, whatever you call that higher power, know your requirements and work out the best solution for you. By detailing your requirements, you're not only describing what you want, you're also stating the reason why you want it, so that the universe can deliver the perfect answer to your request. By letting the universe guide your choices, the outcome often turns out to be far better than you expect, with lots of added benefits you probably hadn't thought of. So, as you go through the process of setting your goals, use the same areas as you did when you were looking back at your achievements. Look at all the areas of your life, professional and business, health and well-being, relationships, money and finance, self-development and spiritual life. And in this step, it's essential that you follow your heart. And I can't stress this strongly enough. This is an opportunity to develop your intuition and feel into what is right for you. The role of your logical mind is to support your intuition, not to overrule it. And how many times do we actually set goals that are things that we feel we should do, but our heart isn't in it? When I say heartfelt goals, it's because if you're setting goals always from your head, then you end up approaching them in a half-hearted manner. Whereas if your heart's set on that outcome, you're going to be much more committed to that outcome than if you're doing it to meet other people's expectations, for example. And it's really important to set your goals in alignment with your purpose, because, and I go into this in more detail in my book, Empowered Manifestation, which you can get at empoweredmanifestation.com, because we all come here with a purpose, with a soul contract. And obviously the universe is going to support us in fulfilling that purpose. So if we can set our vision and our goals in alignment with purpose, you're going to find it's going to unfold much more easily than if you're doing something just because, as I said, of somebody else's expectations or for the wrong reasons. And if you start with your vision, what's the overall vision for your life? And it may be that it's a 3 to 5 year plan rather than just a plan for a year. It may be that your vision is something that needs several years' work to achieve. But if you look at your overall vision, that will keep you on the right path, going in the right direction, so that the goals that you set and the steps that you outline, you know, are going in the right direction, because it's really important to hold that vision in your mind and to hold it in a way that is bigger than any possible obstacles that you might imagine that are going to come up along the way. And believe me, you are going to get challenges, because it's only through challenges that we actually grow on a personal level and also in terms of a skill set. And whenever we set goals, we're actually stepping outside of our comfort zone. So that's going to present its own challenges to us when we come up against things that seem to be difficult and seem to be major obstacles in our way. And I just want to give an example of when I was creating the Festival of Enlightenment back in 2010 and 2011, and the festival happened in June 2011, and there were so many elements that had to be put in place for this festival to happen. But as an ex-project manager, I have my project plan. But challenges cropped up along the way, and a lot of those challenges were really related to my own inner gremlins, my subconscious beliefs about, you know, who am I to be doing this, and will people actually attend? And also a lot of financial challenges along the way, which also really challenged my beliefs about money and fears around money. So it was very much a divine mission for me. But what it did was it really, it forced me to face up to some of those limiting beliefs and also develop some additional skills. So don't expect everything to just flow without any challenges at all, which is what some people in the law of attraction community say. They say, oh, when you've discovered your purpose, everything's going to flow smoothly and everything will go really well. Well, I'm afraid that that isn't how the universe works. We're not here to maintain our status quo. We're actually here to grow and develop. And it's only through challenges that we can grow and develop. So it really helps to identify both your soul and your life purpose so that you can set that vision in alignment. And I do have a life purpose formula that I give away, which I'll provide the link to that to Nancy so she can include it in the YouTube description. But also I recommend a book called The Life You Were Born to Live by Dan Millman, and that's a numerology approach where you use your date of birth to actually determine what your soul purpose is. And this is to do with what are the areas of personal growth that you're here to work on. And in my case, it's abundance and power. And I've shared before about, you know, how in my childhood I was having grown up in the first few years in an affluent family, my father left and then we were plunged into scarcity and lack. And it was really that that was showing my curriculum for this lifetime. To experience lack, it stimulates you to desire the opposite, the contrast, to desire the abundance and to work on that abundance consciousness. And similarly, certainly in my early school years, I was put into situations where I was totally disempowered and humiliated. And again, that was really the stimulus for me to focus very much on helping people to become empowered, to overcome those self-belief issues so that they can really step into their power and achieve all the goals and dreams that they have for this lifetime. So when you actually come to setting your goals, I want to just share with you something that's used very often in business. And that is using SMART goals. And SMART goals are defined in business terms as specific, measurable, achievable. I'm having a senior moment here. I'll cover that in a minute. the T is timely. Oh, realistic and timely. Okay. And that's done from a very much a left brain point of view. Whereas if you look at SMART goals from the point of view of manifestation, you get a different definition. So S is specific, M is measurable, A is alignment, so in alignment with your purpose, R is resonant with your heart, and T is, again, timely. You may want to set things to achieve them in a specific time scale. But the difference is the A for alignment and the R for resonant. And that's what's really important. So when it comes to setting your goals, in the previous step, you were making a list of things you wanted to achieve but didn't. If you achieved everything on your list, that was great. You deserve a real pat on the back. And I hope if you did, you had a great celebration. But if, like most of us, there were things you didn't achieve, now's the time to consider if they're still important to you. If they are, put them on your list of goals and then add the new goals you want to achieve. And, you know, look at them in those categories that I've already mentioned. Before you move on to the third stage, the third step, review your list and make sure that you, the goals you've listed are actually working you towards your vision and purpose. It's very important to focus on the things that are in alignment with your purpose and moving you in the right direction so that you don't waste time and energy. You need to feel that they're the right things to do. And as I say, you'll have your heart set on achieving them. And that's so important. As I say, the heart is the why and the head is the how. So you must put the heart in the driving seat, and the mind can be the engine that gets you in the direction that you want to go. And I want you to then just set some milestones. In the next step, I'll be talking more about planning or detailed planning, but I just want you to set some high-level targets for when you want to achieve your goals. And it's a first pass at assessing what are realistic goals for you to achieve. And also looking at certain factors, which I'll just cover in a minute. But the way to do this is write a list of the months of the year down a page and then assign each outcome that you want to achieve to a month. And when you do so, consider the following. The first thing is priority. Assign the most important goals first before you assign the less important ones. Think about sequence. If one goal is dependent on another, make sure you have them in the right order. Set a desired end date. And in this case, is there a firm deadline you need to achieve? I had a member of my mastermind group whose goal was to actually run a half marathon. And she had a specific deadline to achieve in terms of her plan for her fitness plan, her training plan. Because the half marathon that she wanted to run was on a specific date. Other things may be movable. It may be that, you know, you may have to adjust it at some point. But if you've got a firm deadline, then make sure that that is clear. And think about time. How much time will you need to achieve this goal? And remember, this is just a high level view, so don't get bogged down and go with whether the milestones feel achievable. And when you've done this work, congratulate yourself for committing to this process and believe that this is going to be your best year ever. Really, belief is one of the most powerful things in terms of manifestation. If you don't believe it's possible, you will sabotage yourself and the universe will take what you feel about it, not what you say. So really breathe deeply, relax, get into the feeling of how it will feel when those goals are actually achieved. Okay, so the next step is planning, and this is where we get into more detail. And there are a few well-known sayings about planning. Proper planning prevents poor performance. A goal without a plan is just a wish. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. But I would go a step further and say planning without execution of your plan will not prevent poor performance. A beautifully thought out plan that gathers dust on a shelf or languishes in an untouched folder on your computer is useless. So my version of the first quote is, proper planning proactively performed prevents poor performance. And I'll be covering how to proactively perform your plan in the next section. So as you break down each milestone into detailed steps, it will also provide more insight into whether your goals and intentions are achievable. And at this point, I just want to talk about planning and the laws of the universe, because you've probably gathered by this point in the show that I'm approaching this very much from a manifestation point of view rather than just that 3D logical, you know, material world that really doesn't tap into the power that you truly have. So I want to just cover these laws of the universe and how they relate to the achievement of your goals. So planning actually complies with the law of creation. To be successful at manifestation, I mean manifesting what you want rather than what you don't want, you must be specific about what you want to create. The universe needs to know what you want so it can fulfill your desires. Planning complies with the law of process. As Einstein said, look deep into nature and then you will understand everything better. When you look at nature, it works with absolute precision at the most detailed level. Organisms develop one cell at a time and in a specific sequence. Animals and plants respond to the changing seasons by shedding leaves, hibernating, germinating. When you break down your milestones into small steps, you know precisely what to do in the right order. Planning complies with the law of abundance. In nature, there is no waste. Resources are allocated with precision and everything is recycled. When the trees drop their leaves, they return nutrients to the soil, which will provide the tree with what it needs in the spring to resume growth. When an animal dies, it provides food for other organisms down to the smallest microbe. Planning enables you to use your resources efficiently. It saves time, energy, and money. When you know exactly what you need to do and when, you become much more efficient because you don't waste time wondering what to do or waste energy doing the wrong things. You also know the tools and resources you need to carry out your plan, and you can target your investment to the most effective resources for the job. Planning complies with the law of cause and effect. I already mentioned Dan Millman and his book, The Life You Were Born to Live. And he says, no matter what we feel or know, no matter what our potential gifts or talents, only action brings them to life. And it's interesting because, again, going back to this law of attraction process, it can often seem that all you need to do is, you know, visualize what it is you want to create and, you know, think lots of positive thoughts about it. But we live in a physical universe. We live in a physical world. We're having a physical experience. And that means that we're here to be action. Just sit back passively and expect the thing to materialize in our living room or on our driveway or whatever. So it really is about taking action. And a plan is one of the most effective antidotes to procrastination. When you know exactly what you need to do and when, it's so much easier to go into action. When each task is a very small step, it becomes easy to take. And each action you take increases your momentum towards the achievement of your goals. Each step takes you closer, boosts your self-confidence and belief in the possibility of achieving those goals. Your plan enables proactive performance towards a positive outcome. So let me just cover planning tools. And what you need really depends on the scope and complexity of your goals. As I was referring to the festival, that was a complex goal. So it required a very detailed plan. And my background in project planning with Microsoft Project was a very useful skill to have. So if you're undertaking a major project, you'll need a tool that can handle a high level of complexity. But if you're doing something like an exercise plan, you'll only need something simple. So don't go overboard on planning tools. Otherwise, if you get something too sophisticated, you'll have to invest time in learning how to use it when you could be carrying out your plan. Having said that, it's essential to have somewhere to list out the individual tasks so that your plan is easy to follow. You can keep track of your progress and have the satisfaction of ticking off each step as you complete it. There are lots of tools to choose from depending on your needs. It could be as simple as a to-do list in your notebook, up to the complexity of a project planning tool, as I mentioned, like Microsoft Project. But here are a few suggestions. Just simply pen and paper. A note-keeping tool like Microsoft's OneNote or Evernote. A to-do list spreadsheet template. Even an online planning tool such as Insightly, which is a customer relationship manager, but it includes like a very high level project planner and task manager combined. And that's really useful if you're setting business goals, because you can also use it to manage your contacts and clients and so on. I use Insightly, as it's both a planning tool and a CRM tool combined, and it's free for up to 3 users. I've also used Microsoft's OneNote and now use Evernote, as it integrates with Insightly. If you already have a suitable tool, just go ahead and use it. Otherwise, a Google search will give you lots of options. The choice is up to you. As with everything, go with what feels comfortable. Okay, so how to create your plan? Well, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So take each milestone on your list and work out the steps you need to achieve it. And when I say milestone, it's the end date that you want to achieve for one particular goal. List any resources you need, whether that's money or equipment, or anything else for that matter. Be specific about each resource and make sure you've included a task to acquire them. Put the tasks in the sequence in which they need to be carried out and add an estimate of the time needed to complete the task. And create a timeline by working backwards from the milestone you set, the completion date. Assigning completion dates for each individual task based on the amount of time you've estimated each one will take. And this will give you a start date. And it's always best to approach your goals with the end in mind. It helps you assess whether your original milestone was realistic or not. So when you get that start date, if the start date is earlier than the current date or the date you plan to start, it means your milestone completion date is currently unachievable and your plan needs to be adjusted. You then have 3 choices. The first is to move the completion date of your milestone to an achievable date. The second is to assign more of your time to each task so you can shorten the time period, the elapsed time, for completion. So if you plan to spend 3 hours a week on the task over 4 weeks, that's 12 hours in total, you could increase that to 4 hours a week to shorten the elapsed time to 3 weeks. You could also bring in additional resources, including people and tools to reduce the time it takes. So if you're digging a hole for a pond in your garden, you could shorten the timescales by getting someone to help you dig the hole, or you could hire a mechanical digger to get the work done faster. This is a pretty simple process to get you started on creating realistic plans you can follow. Planning can be as simple or as complex as you wish to make it, but complex project planning is way beyond the scope of this workbook. And here are a few ways. The first is make your goals easy to achieve, and that's done by breaking down your goals into simple steps, because it makes them much easier to achieve for several reasons. It's easy to get overwhelmed when you look at the big picture, but once you break it down into steps, you have a roadmap to follow. Make each step easy to undertake and complete. If you make each step too big, you're creating an obstacle that will make you likely to procrastinate or avoid it completely. And every time you can tick off one of the steps towards your goal, it will add to your confidence and motivation and spur you on to the next task. The second tip is don't overstretch yourself. Don't set too many goals. It's tempting to put together a huge list of all the things you'd like to achieve and be over-optimistic about the time it will take you to get there. I know, because I've done that myself. I'm very ambitious in terms of what I want to achieve, but sometimes being over-ambitious can be an obstacle. By following the steps above to create your plan, you'll soon see if you've been overambitious. Take out the low priority goals and focus your attention on the really important things. And the third tip is create balance. If you're creating plans for your business, remember to consider all your other commitments, like your partner, family, and social and leisure activities, and get buy-in from family and friends so they understand what you're working towards and support you when you need to devote time to your plan. And allow yourself some playtime when you can relax and recharge your batteries. So include plans for your recreational interests. Okay, now on to the final step, step four, which is proactive performance. And I've already shared with you those statistics from the Harvard Business School study. And it's really important to remember how powerful it is when you actually have written goals and plans to achieve the success that you want. And just as a reminder, the 3% with written goals and plans were earning 10 times more than the other 97% put together. They were 10 times more successful than the people with no goals or with goals but no plan. And according to Robert Mora in his book One Small Step Can Change Your Life, The Kaizen Way, the average American makes the same resolution 10 years in a row without success. And within 4 months, 25% of resolutions are abandoned. I know his statistics are slightly different from what I gave you at the start of the show, but it's another confirmation that so many people don't achieve their resolutions or the goals that they set. So clearly you're far more likely to achieve a goal if it's written down and you have a plan. And of course, a plan is only good if you follow it. Otherwise, it's just shelfware. So I'm going to share some tips on how to ensure that you follow through consistently with the implementation of your plan and take the necessary action to achieve your goals. So I've got 8 top tips to keep you on track with your plan so that the achievement of your goals becomes a downstream flow rather than an uphill struggle. The first is to stay positive and persistent. If you find yourself slipping from your plan, don't beat yourself up. Just because you've lapsed for a few days doesn't mean you must give up completely. Perhaps this particular goal isn't that important to you anymore. If that's the case, make a conscious choice to can the plan and invest your time and energy in something that is important. Maybe you underestimated the time certain tasks would take, or something unexpected came up that impacted your timetable. Identify why this has happened, review and revise your plan if necessary, and pick up where you left off. The second is to focus on your strengths. The best way to make sure you stick to your goals is to play to your strengths, and don't get stuck on focusing on your weaknesses. There's a reason why you're great at some things and not so good at others. That's because your natural talents and abilities are perfectly designed to equip you to fulfill your purpose. Yes, there may be certain weaknesses you'd like to improve on, but that can be a source of achievement rather than an opportunity to beat yourself up. If you do decide to work on them with a positive attitude rather than with self-judgment and criticism, you will get a great deal of satisfaction and confidence from achieving things that are challenging. Just make sure you're doing it for the right reason and not trying to compensate for a lack of self-belief. Remember, the reason we set goals is to stretch ourselves outside our comfort zone. So every step we take is on the road to self-improvement. If there are tasks you really dislike or find difficult, consider delegating or outsourcing them to someone who has those skills. That way you can focus your time most effectively on what you do best and probably get a better and faster job done in the process. The tasks we dislike are the ones we tend to avoid or procrastinate over. So it's so much better to get them out of the way quickly so you can move on to the fun stuff. Sometimes what we perceive to be weaknesses are actually due to subconscious programming, which makes us believe we're not good and makes them more difficult to deal with. So we need to look at the cause, not the symptoms. It's no good someone telling you to stop procrastinating. You need to get to the reason why you procrastinate and cure it once and for all. And if this is something you feel is an issue for you, I do offer a free success strategy session where I dive into the source of these limiting beliefs and causes for self-sabotage. And that leads me on to number 3. Don't let inner gremlins sabotage your success. There's a quote by Susie Kassem. Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. The biggest barrier to achieving your goals and dreams is your subconscious mind with its doubts, fears, and limiting beliefs that stop you achieving your goals before you even get started. It's the cause of procrastination and self-sabotage and keeps you stuck in a state of mental paralysis. These subconscious beliefs may not manifest as thoughts, but may feel more like inner resistance to taking action to complete the necessary tasks to achieve your goal. Ignoring them won't make them go away. It will just prolong the problem. When you find yourself having doubts or fears about your ability to succeed, rather than allow them to stop you from moving forward, get to grips with the specific fear or doubt so you can work on it and change the subconscious belief by proving it to be false. Tip number 4 is teeny tiny steps. Baby steps. One of the most common reasons for people procrastinating is that they make the tasks in their plan too big. In the book I quoted at the start of this step, One Small Step Can Change Your Life, The Kaizen Way, Robert Morris explains that the Kaizen Way works so effectively because it sets each task to be the smallest possible unit of effort. For example, if you have a fitness plan that involves exercise, set yourself a task of doing just 5 minutes of exercise. This is so much easier to undertake than setting yourself the goal of an hour's exercise, as there's a tendency to put it off until it's easy to spend an hour. And in our busy lives, that often means it keeps getting put off and put off day after day. On the other hand, 5 minutes is no big deal, and so you distance to starting. And you know, I've in my own experience, I can guarantee that once you've started, you'll get into the flow and achieve much more than that five minutes that you intended, and you even complete the full hour in some cases. The more we can understand our psychology of resistance, the easier it becomes to overcome it with little tricks like this. The fifth tip is time management, and this is a challenge for many people, as there seem to be more things to accomplish than there are hours in the day. One of the best ways of becoming more efficient in your use of time is to set up a model calendar. Make a list of the routine tasks you need to do each day, each week, and any other less frequent tasks. Then set up a calendar that allocates the necessary time to these tasks on a routine basis. Next, allocate the remaining available time to work on your goals, your project tasks. You don't need to be specific about what these are. It's just so you know that at those times, you're going to focus on doing the tasks in your plan. And remember to allocate me time so you don't overfill your calendar and leave no space for downtime or relaxation. It may take a little adjustment when you first start. You may have under or overestimated the time needed for each segment of your calendar. Just keep reviewing and refining it until you feel you've become as accurate as possible. And be prepared to be flexible. I mean, life happens. So if you can't stick to that particular schedule on a particular day because something comes up, don't worry about it. Move on and pick up where you left off. One of the things you can do is use a timer to track the time you spend. And there are lots of mobile and desktop apps available to do that. And it can help you get a more accurate picture of the time you actually spend on tasks. I actually use an online app called myhours.com. And I can actually set up different tasks. And then I start the timer, and the timer records how long I'm spending until I stop the timer. So in that way, you can build up a history of how much time you regularly spend on a particular task. Okay, the next one is celebrate your success. And this is going back to step one, really. You know, how often do we recognize and focus on our mistakes and weaknesses, but we often fail to acknowledge and celebrate our accomplishments, even when we've achieved significant goals. We frequently focus more attention on the things that didn't live up to our intentions or expectations than on the positive results we've achieved. There's nothing wrong with reviewing your performance and results to look for ways to improve what you do. But if you focus more of your attention on the things that didn't work, you're reinforcing a belief that what you achieved is not good enough and that you are not good enough, which, again, is reinforcing a limiting belief. By intentionally acknowledging your successes, you're strengthening a positive belief in your capabilities and your ability to manifest even more success in the future. Number seven is be accountable. And you're far more likely to stay committed to your goals and on track if you're accountable to somebody else. This is the advantage of having a coach or a mentor who will support you and help you develop the right mindset rather than being critical or judgmental. The other option is to buddy up with a partner or a friend so you can keep each other on track. Make sure you choose someone you feel completely comfortable with so you can be honest about your issues and challenges. My final recommendation is to keep a journal. At the end of each day, review your successes and your challenges. Celebrate both, as each challenge is as valuable as each success, because it's through our challenges that we achieve growth, as I said earlier. Celebrate how you overcame the challenge and what you learned from it. And there are lots of journals to choose from if you go to Amazon. The main message I want to stress is, by keeping a positive perspective on everything you do, you maximize your energy for reaching your goals, and you magnetize the energy of the universe to support you in manifesting your vision, dreams, and desires. And you are amazing. You are special. You're here with a unique purpose and a gift to bring to the world. And it's really important to commit to following these steps, because that way you will create the success you desire and deserve. And you'll also fulfill your purpose in this lifetime. And we all have a part to play in what's happening in the world today. And our main job is to make sure that we fulfill that purpose, not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the other people as well. And as we always say on the Cosmic Reality radio station, everything we do is contributing to the collective consciousness. And as you build not only the life that you want to live, but you're building the person that you want to be, you're making a superb contribution to that collective consciousness. And I want to just finish by reminding you to focus on self-appreciation and gratitude. And this is part of really recognizing your achievements. So if you choose to follow these steps to celebrate, to achieve your goal, even if it's only going through the steps in terms of setting goals, creating a plan, celebrate that, because that's an achievement that a majority of the population don't achieve. They don't have clear goals. They don't have a plan. They don't have a vision for your life. So that in itself is something to celebrate. And then remember to celebrate every teeny tiny step that you make towards your goal, and the achievement that you create from taking those steps. So just a quick recap on what those steps are again before we finish. Step one is to start by reviewing your achievements from the previous year. And as I say, do it for the whole year, the whole of last year, 2019. In future, do it every 3 months so that you can keep track. The second step is to actually define and create your goals and vision. Step three is the planning. And then step four is actually the execution of that plan. So I hope you found that useful. If you'd like more information about it, I'll be giving a link to Nancy with an ebook that takes you step by step through this process. She'll include that in the YouTube description. And you can always contact me at thesuccessalchemist.net, jan@thesuccessalchemist.net. And I want to wish you a very happy new year and a very successful 2020 and beyond. So thank you for listening, and I hope you'll be with me on next week's show.
You have been listening to the Cosmic Creating Radio Show with Jan Shaw. a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Live long and prosper.